The man was a prominent businessman. He was speaking at a conference. This is what he said. As you know, I have been very fortunate in my career, and I've made a lot of money. Far more than I've dreamed of. Far more than I could ever spend. Far more than my family needs. The strength of his determination and character showed in his face, but a moment's hesitation betrayed deeper emotions hidden beneath the outward intensity. A single tear rolled slowly down his well-tanned cheek. To be honest, one of my motives for making so much money was simple. To have the money to hire people to do what I don't like doing. But there's one thing I've never been able to hire anyone to do for me. Find my own sense of purpose and fulfillment. I'd give anything to discover that. Maybe you are trying to discover the very same thing. A sense of purpose. A sense of fulfillment. The reason for being. Maybe you have responded to the invitation to accept Christ. Maybe you haven't. Either way, you lack purpose and fulfillment. There is hope in the call of Christ. There is hope in calling. Jesus said, follow me. Act like, think like, become like me. Hope is one of the virtues of the followers of Christ is to have the hope of calling. If you are finding your identity in Christ by abiding in God's word, and you are living a life of total commitment, even in the tough times, there is hope in calling. We're going to look at the life of one of the better known disciples, one with which we may easily identify. Peter was brash, he was loud, he let his mouth move, it seems, sometimes before his mind engaged. He might be known as a colossal failure as a disciple if it were not for the hope of calling. Os Guinness defines calling as the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and dynamism lived out as a response to his summons and service. The hope of calling. John chapter 21, we begin in verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going to go fishing. They said to him, we'll come also with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." The hope of calling. The hope of calling allows you to overcome failure. Jesus had been called by Jesus to follow him. Back then, he said, "I will make you a fisher of men." Well, Peter understood all about being a fisherman, but this fisher of men was new. But he said, "Oh, yes, I'll do it." And then Jesus had prayed for Peter before the crucifixion. And yet Peter failed him. Failed him so bad he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. "I don't know who that man is." And so, stung by his denial, stung by the failure that was eating away at him, he was a fisherman, so he went fishing. Besides that, they needed to eat, didn't they? So he went fishing. They fish all night. Nothing. Now, they didn't have a rod and reel. Zebco hadn't been created yet. They used a net. They'd pull the net behind the boat, and nothing all night. Finally, the sun begins to come up, and they realize that there's somebody on the shore, and they're so far out, they really can't tell who it is. And the man yells out to him, "Do you have any fish?" "No. Put the net down on the other side of the boat." And there were so many fish that they couldn't bring the net back in. They couldn't bring it back in. And so they realize it's the Lord. One of them realizes what was happening. And so Peter, who, the way you and I would describe it, he was stripped down to his underwear. He's out in the boat, he's working, so he puts on his outer garments, and not being the man, kind of man he was, not willing to wait on somebody else for them to get the boat into shore, he just jumps in and takes off. And he gets to the shore. And when he and the others get there and they find the fish are still in the net, they find a charcoal fire with fish cooking and bread. Reading different commentaries, they argue back and forth, but I think John is making the contrast here. With the charcoal fire of Peter's denial of Jesus and then here his reinstatement. Because the only other place in the Gospel of John where a charcoal fire is mentioned is at the crucifixion, where Peter said, "I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him." And don't you just realize that every time he said, "I don't know him," that Peter's heart sank just a little bit farther. And then he's resurrected. And everything had changed, but inside him, Peter was being eaten up. with his denial of Christ. And here Jesus is reinstating him. It was a new day of possibilities, a day of grace and forgiveness. And let me tell you, if you don't think that you need grace and forgiveness every day, then you're lying to yourself. It was for Peter a certain day of grace and forgiveness. It was a day of overcoming failure. There is a primary calling on of followers, the call of Jesus, by him, to him, and for him. That is the call that goes out to all of us, to follow Jesus. But every one of us also has a secondary calling. Considering who God is as sovereign is that everyone, everywhere, and in everything should think, speak, live, and act entirely for him. Secondary callings matter because primary callings matter most. There is hope in the calling of Jesus, allowing you to overcome failure. Carl Wallenda was a well-known tightrope walker of a different day. He was a circus performer. He said, "My whole life is high wire walking." But one day as he was on the wire, something in his mind snapped and he fell to his death. His wife said, for 3 months before, all he could think about was falling. He had concentrated on failure, on falling, rather than on walking. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters describes Satan's strategy this way. He gets Christians to become preoccupied with their failures. From then on, the battle is won. Is Satan winning the battle with you? Are you preoccupied in your mind with your failures? You say, "Well, I haven't had any." Oh, yeah, you have. What do you think about in the middle of the night when you wake up? What you did wrong earlier in the evening? The mistake that you made 5 years ago or 25 years ago? Have you known failure in your life? And if I asked for a show of hands and you didn't raise your hand, I would call you a liar. We've all known failure. But there is hope in the calling of Christ. Maybe your failure is personal, anger, you've hurt others. Maybe it's professional, you failed a grade or you've been fired or you failed at a business attempt. Maybe your failures are moral, that you use language when you're upset that you know you ought not, or maybe it's sexual sin. In all of this, just like Peter, we have a sense of denying Jesus, but his repeated call to you is, follow me. Follow me. And the unspoken promise is that in that he is repeating his call to you, there is hope in the call of Christ. Follow me. The hope of calling gives meaning to life's work. Jesus narrows the focus of the conversation to Peter. It was like they kind of got off by themselves a little bit, and he begins talking to Peter. And so Jesus took Peter back to the point of failure, the denial. Do you love me? Jesus earlier had firmly stated his intent to never deny Jesus. I will never deny you. But he did. Time after time after time. Then Jesus asked the questions, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Whether the question was about Peter's love of fishing or the comparison of Peter's love to others, Jesus wanted Peter to face up to himself. After the first question, do you love me more than these? Well, of course. After the third, it was heartache. He grieved. Because Peter realized, and Peter knew maybe from the first question, but by the third, he knew that what Jesus was doing was making Peter deal with himself. He wanted him to face up to himself. A real follower must learn what real believing and loving means. Calling involves single-mindedness, that we live before an audience of one. So when you go out of here today and you decide, go to the store tomorrow, and you decide that you want a new something, are you going to buy just what you need, or are you going to buy something that looks good? You're not playing to a single audience, an audience of one. You're playing to the world and everyone in it. Jesus said, follow me. We need to realize that we play to an audience of one. Then we also need to be obedient. He said, follow me. He is making an exclusive claim of discipleship, of followership on us. We cannot follow the world and him. So you have to make the choice. Are you going to follow the world, or are you going to follow him? Jesus told Peter 3 times, then take up the task I have for you. The unspoken promise was, I will give meaning to your life's work. Randy and Nisa Basham were a couple in our church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Randy one time told of a periodic talk the two would have. He worked for Phillips Petroleum Company. He was a corporate warrior. She was a stay-at-home mom raising their 2 girls. Sometimes she would compare her work, her task, her life's work to his in despair of not doing anything important. And he would have to remind her of the importance of raising godly children. Do you have a sense of calling in your life? Do you have a sense of calling in your life? Distortions have formed a dualism. One elevates spiritual at the expense of secular. Only ministers have callings. Well, I want to suggest to you that is completely, totally false. I'm looking at stay-at-home moms. I'm looking at people whose lives have changed because of what we call retirement. There is still a sense of call on your life. The primary calling stands for all of us for all time, that we are to follow Jesus. But the truth of it is that we also have to have a secondary calling. To realize that in whatever situation God has put us, that we are to honor him and glorify him and be a part of what he's doing. It may be raising children. It may be something that the world says is more important. And let me tell you, there is nothing more important than raising godly children. So whatever situation, stage of life you find yourself in, do you know what your secondary calling is? And are you making the most of that? Part of our problem is that we let vocation and occupation get confused. Vocation is the primary calling, is replaced by occupation, your life's task. Well, one of the other distortions that can happen is that we elevate work up to the sacred. That we pour our complete life and being into our work. Well, you ought to be a good employee. But working in whatever situation is a secondary calling. That's your occupation. Your vocation is to follow Christ. Your occupation is whatever you're doing with your life. Calling means everyone, everywhere, and in everything fulfills his secondary calling in response to God's primary calling. And Jesus is repeating his call to you. There is hope in the calling of Christ. Follow me. The hope of calling will allow you to finish well. Jesus talks to Peter about the call to follow and Peter's life's work. Then Jesus predicts the end of Peter's life by crucifixion. Someone asked me, was he crucified upside down? Well, I think that's what tradition says. But it's pretty clear that he was going to be crucified, because that's what he said. You're going to be led where you don't want to be, and you're going to have your hand extended out. Now, part of our understanding of crucifixion is wrong in that we think Jesus and whoever was crucified carried the whole cross, and they didn't. They only carried the cross beam, typically, with hands out extended. Jesus said to Peter, "This is how you're going to die." He doesn't immediately get it. Peter doesn't. He turns and looks at the other disciple and says, what about him? And Peter was doing as most of us do. He was comparing himself to another. But God does not compare us to others, but takes each of us personally, individually. Jesus asks, "What is that to you? Don't worry about anybody else. You follow me." And let me tell you, in a few minutes, when we get to the point of response, I wish every one of you would come by and say, "This is how I'm following Christ. That's my primary calling. Here's my secondary calling." See, that's why this idea of retirement is not right. "Well, I'm retired. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing." Now, here's where, let me go quit preaching and go to meddling. How many have given up and quit? The call of Christ to follow him is still on your life. The call of Christ to do whatever that God allows you to do, giving you the talents to do, giving you the opportunities to do, is still on your life to grow his kingdom. It's not about a church. It's not about anything. It's about his kingdom. Lord, give us enough grace to help you grow your kingdom. That's what he prayed. That's how he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And so you and I need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of that. You need to concentrate on your relationship to Christ. That's what he was saying to Peter, not someone else. Calling is the spur that keeps you journeying purposefully, growing, maturing in Christ. Remember, honey, when our kids were born, we longed for the day that they could walk and talk. And you know the rest of that? That when they could walk and talk, we were hoping that they would sit down and be quiet. We're always living for a day when. No, today is the day you follow Christ. You follow Christ in that primary calling. And I may be speaking a language, saying something to some of you that you don't have a clue. Do you realize that God's intent for man was for us to know him and love him and follow him all the days of our life? But he created us with a free will. And at some point, we exercise that free will, every one of us, and say, "I don't need to do that. I don't need to listen to my parents. I don't need to do that." And we went our own way. And those choices, that decision to disobey God, we call that sin in the church. When we decided to sin, that broke that relationship. And God said, "I'm going to go after them." And Jesus said, "I'll go." And he came and took on human flesh, human life. And he willingly went to the cross and paid a debt that you and I could not pay. But the threshold of entering into that new life, I heard someone say on the radio back a couple weeks ago, is repentance. And let me tell you, repentance is hard. It's kind of like men being willing to admit they're lost, driving around. We don't like to do it. And ladies, while you chuckle, just remember that you don't like to repent about things either. Finishing well is being more in love with Jesus at the end of your life than any time before. And it is sad that very few men especially, finish well. Calling helps you to finish well because it prevents confusing termination of occupation, that secondary calling, with termination of your vocation, your primary calling. Calling helps because it encourages you to leave the outcome of life to God. If I ask any of the kids in here, they probably know the story of the tortoise and the hare, don't you? You know the story of the rabbit and the hare, the tortoise and the hare. The rabbit started well. He ran well for a time. But the tortoise kept at it and finished well. So who was the better runner? Life is a race. Run the whole course. Finish well. So stop and listen to the Holy Spirit a moment. Are you finishing well? If you're young, are you following Jesus this day? Do you see that as the main thing of your life? Or are you dreaming of a someday when? If you're older, sometimes we struggle for the sense of value when abilities diminish. That's the second distortion. Allowing work to become sacred is at play. He is calling you to keep on keeping on. Never give up. Finish well your call to follow Jesus. This morning, do you have a sense of calling? Do you have a sense of calling on your life in that you have responded to the call of Jesus to follow Him? Do you also have a sense of calling in your secondary calling where whatever position or stage of life you are in, that you are doing what He wants, that you're going, that you have the intent to finish well? There is hope in calling.